Galatians. We're going right back where we were last week. It's good to see Spencer and Sasha this morning and some others. I won't put you all on the spot as to who those folks are, but they like you enough to sit by you, so I imagine y'all are somewhat close anyway. And it's good to have y'all with us this morning as well in our service. Will the Lockharts be here tonight? Okay. Emily, let them know that they need to plan to speak. Okay? Not preach, just speak. I say that for your dad. They'll be heading out tomorrow. I don't know that we've had a chance to hear publicly from Mrs. Lockhart since they've been here, and so it'll be good to hear from them tonight. Also, how did you enjoy the parking lot this morning? Being able to get in, not slide around or anything like that? Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for our folks that have machinery to be able to help out in that regard. And Brother Manning Mache got up here and did the work to get this parking lot cleared up for us. I was really wondering, what are we going to do? What kind of money is it going to take? And those were kind of the main questions on my mind. And as happens so often, I think I got a text message or maybe a phone call and said, we've got somebody that's going to take care of this for us. And so Brother Mache drove all this distance, takes him probably 40 minutes to get over here, and it probably took him a lot longer that day. He had to kind of dig some things out, as I understand it, to be able to get up here, and praise the Lord allowed us to be able to have a clear parking lot this morning. Praise the Lord for it. Galatians chapter 5. Notice three verses, verses 16 through 18 this morning. Galatians chapter 5, beginning reading in verse number 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that's a pretty strong statement. We could even call it a guarantee. Read it again. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot. He said, ye shall not. Now he's saying, ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. I want to use this series of verses in this passage that we really brought a message from last week. I want to use these series of verses in particular to preach a message, a little different message, type of message for me this morning, entitled, The Spirit of the Spiritual. The Spirit of the Spiritual. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for your word. Thank you for this opportunity. I pray that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds to the truths of the word of God. May they pierce through, Lord, the way that the sword will do, so that we can make application and it would make a change in us and we would be more like you. And again, Father, for that one, maybe more than one, who doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that it would pierce their heart so that they would realize their need. Lord, the need of being truly spiritual. Thank you for this time. And I pray that it would be fruitful in Jesus' name. Amen. I cannot begin to tell you the number of occasions wherein an individual has relayed to me in a personal interview or to someone else in an observed interview that they are not, here it is, quote, religious, but they are spiritual. Anybody ever heard that before? I am struck by a word that is used in this passage of Scripture, which is also used in John chapter number 15, the passage which just naturally leads to this one. Now here's the word, and we mentioned it as we read. The word is cannot. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 17. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would. And when you look at John chapter number 15 and verse number 5, again, a very familiar passage with a very familiar verse, we read these words, I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Here it is, for without me ye can do nothing. So really it's the same word, it's just a different way of saying it. In John chapter 15, he uses the sort of positive negative, if you will, whereas in Galatians chapter 5, it's just the negative, ye cannot, John chapter 15, without me, ye can do nothing. When the interview turns to investigation, this person saying, I am spiritual, I'm just not religious. Here's what we find. This spiritual, not religious individual is, and we hear this quite often too. You ever hear these terms and just scratch your head and wonder, what in the world are they talking about? This individual is a free spirit. Anybody ever heard that? There's a term for you about being spiritual. I'm just a free spirit. Did that come about in the 60s, you 60s folks? Is that where that got generated? Huh? All right, yes? Okay. I'm a free spirit, or so they believe. They don't live or operate in their life by the constructs of man-made religion yet. As the prophet Nathan said to King David, thou art the man. Consider it for a moment, this free spirit who says, I am not religious, I'm just spiritual, I'm just a free spirit, I kind of do and go about as I please, and I have my own sense of spirituality and all of that. What you're really saying is, you don't live by another man-made religion, you live by your own man-made religion. You are the person, you are the man. Consider it. The one who fancies himself a free spirit is actually the one in bondage of a faulty, fraudulent master himself. Once again, let's connect the dots. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Hey, free spirit, the perfect, powerful Creator is the same Savior as He is Lord. Conversely, so are we. Our limited perfection and power is constantly on full display if we could only see. But alas, we're limited in that regard too. Much has been made of the fact that Satan is a cruel master, and guarantee it, he is a cruel master. But consider that Satan's ultimate goal, you better hear me this morning, is not to rule you as much as it is that you would rule you. Satan doesn't have a need to rule you or even a desire to rule you as long as you rule you. And that's the reason why, and it's been said before, Satan doesn't have to try very hard, if not at all, with most folks because they take care of themselves. And if we're honest, we understand that. It is the pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth that we should, hear it, hate. It is evil. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 13. And the cause, it is the cause of our lack of fear of God, that pride that sets us up to be the one in charge. We truly are. our own worst enemy. May we depart this day having resolved in ourselves that this truth, this confidence. I want you to look at some scripture with me. I mentioned John chapter number 15. Turn over there if you would. I want you to turn some different places with me as we sort of just work our way through what is this spirit, this attitude, this mindset of the one that is truly spiritual. The mindset, the attitude, the heart, the spirit of the one that is truly spiritual. What is the spirit of that one like? John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. What confidence. Ask what you will. Look at John chapter 15, verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, empowered you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What confidence we have in the Lord. I think it is what the Apostle Paul is speaking about, although we can miss it because it's just an opening verse of an opening chapter of a book, Galatians chapter 1, verse number 1. I never really just read it before. It's just a parenthetical statement. But when you get to Galatians chapter 5 and then you read back to Galatians chapter 1, oh boy, it's a big statement. Paul says this, Galatians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, one sent. What does he say? Here it is in parentheses. Not of men, neither by man. I'm not sent of men. I'm not an apostle by man, by the strength of man, by the power of man, by the call of man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. What truth, what confidence we read about. We begin to get a glimpse of the spirit of the spiritual. Look at Philippians chapter 3 with me, if you would. Philippians chapter 3. I hope you brought your Bible today. Now, we're going to look at several passages of Scripture. Philippians chapter number 3. Notice verse number 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now notice that, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. What do all these groups of people have in mind? They are fleshly characters. And fleshly characters are out for themselves. Hear me this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Jesus goes on to say you need to love one another. He focuses in John chapter 15. He focuses there in Galatians chapter number 5. When we are fleshly, I can guarantee you this. We are really, truly only concerned about ourselves. And that, quote, spiritual, unquote, person out there, I'm just a free spirit. You know what they're really saying? I'm really only concerned about me. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, Philippians 3:3, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Notice this. And have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, fulfilling every point. Concerning zeal, persecuting to the church. I did it better than anybody else did it. touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now notice what he says. This great apostle who was once a Pharisee of the Pharisees, his own admission. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. It didn't matter a pedigree with the Apostle Paul. It doesn't matter with us either. Any of the other things that we could name that we sort of put stock and value in, he says, I count them as loss, and literally, I have lost them as a result of my relationship with Jesus Christ. But he says, I count them but dung, waste, refuse, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, abide in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Notice this in verse number 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I would say with probably many, many, I want to know that kind of power. Well, if we're going to know that kind of power, then we better have the spirit of one that is truly spiritual. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a familiar passage, but it goes right along with what we're talking about this morning. Where is our confidence this morning? Even as people of God, even as believers, is our confidence in the flesh? Is our confidence in what man can do or what he won't do or these types of things? Where's our confidence this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Well, God does things differently than we would do them. Chapter 12, 2 Corinthians verse number 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. And I'm telling you, folks, when you and I begin to abide in Christ and we begin to dwell with Him and we're at home with the Holy One and He begins to take us places that we never maybe even envisioned ourselves before. I'm talking about mission fields and I'm talking about making changes in our lives, things and places we just never really saw ourselves. I listen to folks around our church, people that have either been lost or maybe been away from Christ for a while. And I think about my brother, Brother Downing. Several times he said to me in the last year, couple of years or so, he said, Tim, there were times in my life over the last several years I would have never envisioned myself going to church one time, let alone several times in a week. Let alone try to be around and serve and go out soul winning and things of this nature. I just never would have envisioned it. God does things. He shows us things and takes us to places and all these things. And the Apostle Paul says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. All of us can be guilty of this because of where the Lord has taken us from, to where He's taken us to. We tend to begin to believe that it has something to do with us. He says, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Where was the thorn? In the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. By the way, I think it's important that he says above measure. There is this thought, and I don't know where all it originates, although I can say it originates in hell because all wrong thoughts ultimately originate there, apart from God. But there is this idea that, you know, we ought to be lower than the low. We look at ourselves less than even what God would see us or what we are with Jesus Christ within us, and I'm just nothing, and I have no use for anybody. Hey, friend, that's a wrong mentality. With the Lord Jesus Christ, what he's concerned with is that we're not to be exalted, here it is, above measure. He wants us to see ourselves properly, balanced. So important in the Christian life, this idea of balance. Lest I should be exalted above measure. He says in verse number 8, for this thing, this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan to buffet me, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. Hear me this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life specifically. Most of you, maybe there's something going on that nobody knows anything about. Some ailment, some mental issue, some financial issue, some crisis, some woe. Maybe it's something that God has allowed, no matter how much and how long and how hard you pray, he's allowed it, unless we should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Here's the lesson. For my strength is made perfect or complete or whole in weakness. Here's the statement we don't like to read. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The spirit of the spiritual man grasps how weak he truly is and how strong he truly is. This recognition begets a reliance on the Spirit of the Lord, the same Spirit that rested on Christ. Christ is our example. Look at Isaiah chapter number 11. This is beautiful to me. Christ, in his flesh, he was 100% God, but he was also 100% man. And we read something in Isaiah chapter number 11 that helps us to understand how we are to be truly spiritual. Let me ask you a question this morning. Was Christ spiritual? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If anybody ever was, he was. Here's what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter number 11, verse number 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. I even like the sort of play on words here. He's also the branch. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Boy, when we're one in Christ, it is like we are the same in some ways. He's the big branch, though, capital B. Come out of a rod, the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Verse number 2, and the Spirit of the Lord, notice this, shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Read all these things and understand in context. Think about the fruit of the Spirit for a moment. Verse number 3, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter number 8, verse number 13 talks about this very thing. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. That man which fears not the Lord, he will be pride and arrogant, have a forward mouth, and have an evil way. Do you understand the connection? The Spirit of the Lord that rested on Christ made him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears physically, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. How is it accomplished that the Spirit of the Lord would rest upon him? So this recognition begets a reliance on the Spirit of the Lord, the same Spirit that rested on Christ. You remember that famous passage, Matthew chapter number 11. I'd quote it, but I don't want to get it wrong. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Folks, if you've ever been in the yoke or in the burden of Jesus Christ, you know that in and of itself, it's not easy and it's not light most often. But it certainly seems that way when I'm with Him, abiding in Him, dwelling in Him, resting in Him. He brings rest to the soul. 2 Corinthians 12:9, we read it, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at back to Galatians chapter 5. What is this spirit of the spiritual man? What is the concept? What does it mean to be truly spiritual, and how is it accomplished? How does one produce the fruit of the Spirit? Notice Galatians chapter 5, verse number 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You understand the connection here? The same Lord that gives us life, the same Savior, He is the one that also causes us to be able to walk in the Spirit. Now, what exactly does that mean? To be able to proceed in a way in the Christian life that ultimately would please God and glorify Him and would allow Him or cause Him to put His power, that His power may rest on us, that the Spirit of the Lord may fill us for service. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And most of us would say, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I put it in Him and Him alone, and that's the Bible way. But are we living? Are we actively walking that way? Faith in Him. Verse number 24, the same passage, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. The flesh has got to be crucified, has got to be killed in a spiritual way. It's got to be put down. Verse number 26, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. How does that occur? We're living in the Spirit, but we're not walking in the Spirit, so it happens just to be all about us. But I love what that hymn says. I believe it's number 228 there in that blue hymn book. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me, not only for salvation, but that's what I look to in order to proceed to walk by faith in the Christian life. I rest on Him. I rest on His power. Look at Romans chapter 7. We're going to read this passage here and then we're going to close this morning. The Spirit of the Spiritual. Romans chapter number 7. This is such a rich passage. Notice verses 5 and 6 with me, if you would, Romans 7, 5 and 6. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. What a statement. This speaks of fruit that leads to death. It's almost akin to that original fruit that was partaken of that led to death. That fruit that would lead unto death, verse number 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Galatians chapter 5, that's what the book of Galatians is actually talking about. Now I want you to read with me verse number 7 down through the end of this chapter. And what I want you to do is read aloud with me the even number verses. Now I want you to pay close attention to what is said. Romans chapter 7, Verse number 7. Read those even number verses as we come to them aloud, would you? What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. This law allowed me to be able to see, to be introspective, concupiscence, to be able to look and see my faults and my failures. Verse number 9, for I was alive without the law once. This is that free spirit. Hey, I'm alive. I'm doing whatever I want. I'm having a great time in my life. Friend, you just don't understand. But when the commandment came, verse number 9, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Let me ask you this question before we read verse number 14. Saved person, Christian person, you that have been made alive by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, is sin exceedingly sinful still? Not only at salvation, but now as we walk this Christian walk, is it still exceeding sinful? Verse 14, read it with me. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, here it is. Here it is. This is the war that we talked about last week. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Where's our confidence? He says, I put no confidence in the flesh. Literally, in my flesh there dwells no good thing. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Verse number 20. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Here it is. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Not just alive in Christ, but walking in Christ. Romans chapter 7, this seems to be the testimony of a saved man. A man who has the new man within, the new, the Spirit of God within, and yet he still has that old flesh that won't be released until he gets out of this world. And so these are warring, they're lusting against one another. Galatians chapter 5, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, we get deliverance in our walk. Here's the truth, and I'm done this morning. The confidence that is to be resolved is this. I will yield myself. The Spirit of God is not going to force. Now, God is a good Father. He'll put us in bumpy waters, rough situations, to be able to bring us back to Himself. But he's not going to force us. So what we have to be resolved about is I will yield myself daily to the Spirit of God, who will provide liberty. Here it is, Galatians chapter 5. I trust maybe you'll read this chapter again, chapter 5, on your own time. The Spirit of God who will provide liberty for me to love what I should love and lust against what I should lust against. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh. I can't win this battle in the flesh. I can't do it on my own. There's nothing really that I can do. I cannot do it. But the Spirit of God, that it would rest upon me so that I can love what I should love and lust against what I should lust against. You know what that is? That's choice. So I can choose the things that I ought to and choose not the things that I ought not to. This, my friends, is the spirit of the spiritual. Say, what is it all about? You know what's striking to me about Galatians chapter 5, verse number 23? He lists off the fruit of the Spirit. There's nothing about humility in there. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. And I believe the reason that it's not is because it is the means by which the fruit of the Spirit is able to come forth. Humility has to be in place before the fruit will ever come forth. I've got to come down from myself, my own righteousness, my own ability, my own pedigree, whatever that may be. And I've got to rest, abide, dwell in Him. Let Him abide, dwell, and rest in and with me. Have that relationship. And every day, yield myself to the Spirit of God. You say, how do you do that? Let Him talk to me, and let me talk to Him. The Word of God, by prayer, at the very beginning of the day, God, I yield myself again this day. This flesh of mine cannot do anything that would please You. And so what I need today, Lord, is I need You to help me. I need the Spirit of God to help me that I might be a fruitful Christian. Do I desire fruit? Well, if I do, then I'm going to have the Spirit of the truly spiritual. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Bow our heads together. I wonder if we're resolved today that the power of Christ may rest on us. There was an old generation that talked a lot, seemingly, about being filled with the Spirit. And that talk has diminished quite a bit. We live in the generation now of the power of positive thinking. If I can dream it, if I can wish it, if I can think of it, I can do it. Folks, that's a faulty philosophy. We need Him to do anything that would please Him and glorify Him and be eternally meaningful. May God help us. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I want to ask this question. Maybe you're here today, and maybe through this message, maybe through a series of messages, maybe just apart from really anything that was preached, the Spirit of God has made it evident to you that you're not a child of God. You've not been born again. Or maybe you've got some real doubts about that. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you this morning. It's the greatest need you have. There is absolutely no fruit where there is no life. And if you've not been born again, friend, you're not living. Not really. You're under the sentence of death, even as we speak. And so maybe you're here this morning physically. Maybe you're here online. You'd say, Pastor Taylor, I don't know. I'm not sure that I've been born again, that I'm a child of God. I don't know that for sure, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Is there one like that? Is there one? I don't know that I've been born again. I don't know that I'm a child of God, but I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Maybe you're online this morning. I would ask you, raise your hand. You say, you can't see it. No, but God can. I don't know that I've been born again. I don't know that I'm a child of God. Pray for me. Let me ask you this question, Christian. Do we truly have the spirit of the spiritual? And is fruit coming out of our lives as a result of it? Or are we really carnal, living that carnal life, relying on ourselves on a more regular basis? You would say, Pastor Taylor, God has spoken to my heart this morning about the spirit of the spiritual. Pray for me. Pray for me. Hands up all over. We need some spiritual people in this day and age. We need some godly folks. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Let's pray. We'll have a time of invitation. Maybe you need to just come and talk to the Lord this morning. Maybe you need to make a decision for Christ. If it's not for salvation, maybe it's for baptism. Maybe it's for church membership. Maybe it's for rededication of a life. Maybe you feel like God is calling you to some specific avenue of service. Whatever it may be, we would invite you to come if that's you this morning right after we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the message this morning. I pray that you'll allow it to make sense to us through and through so that we would take it with us this week and be yielded to the Spirit of God. I pray for every heart of every hand that was lifted and maybe some that weren't. Lord, that you would make application and help us to be able to make sense of this lesson for us personally. And then, Lord, I didn't see any hands, but maybe there's somebody who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray, Lord, if they're still relying on the flesh, they're still relying on the works of their hands that they can produce, I pray, Lord, they would forsake that, turn to the work that Jesus Christ did on their behalf, even during this invitation time. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you?